Now this week, we're going to see how Shmuel is dead. And that, we already mentioned that before, that happened before, but we're going to see why that's significant, especially right now, where we're going to see how Shaul is very worried about the war he's about to engage with the Plishtim. So, Perek Chavches 28, Pasuk Gimel, says, V'Shmuel Meis, Shmuel had died. Why is that significant this time? We're going to see. V'Yispedu Lo Kol Yisrael, all the Jews carried a eulogy for him. V'Yigburu B'Rama U'Be'Iroi, they buried him in the Rama where he would bring out his prophecy and in his city. And Shaul took away all the Oivais and Yidoinim. Oivais and Yidoinim is this form of dark magic that has the ability to bring up the dead and prophesize what's going to happen in the future. What is the significance of this pasuk? And why do we mention again that Shmuel passed away? We already mentioned that before. So a few reasons. First of all, the reason why we mentioned that Shmuel had died was because until now, when Shmuel was alive, the Ruach Nevuah, the spirit of prophecy, was alive. It was brought forth through Shmuel. But not only through Shmuel, there were many, many other Nevi'im, many other prophets who were bringing the Ruach of Nevuah. They were inspired by Shmuel. Shmuel was the channel who brought the prophecy into the world. Now that Shmuel had died, there was a real danger that people will now try to get some other kind of source of Nevuah, of prophecy. They will turn to this dark magic of Oiv and Yidoini. We're going to get a bit of a more understanding how that dark magic works in the next few psukim. So now Shaul had to, that's why the end of the pasuk mentions that Shaul now had to work very hard to get rid of all these Oivis and Yidoini.
But this is, people who he killed, he's Jewish magic?
It's dark magic. It's not it's not Jewish magic necessarily.
The Jewish people.
Jewish people do it. Yeah, Jews have a prohibition against Oiv and Yidoini, against engaging in this kind of dark magic. But it's not necessarily only the Jews. Jews are not allowed to use it. So Shaul worked very hard to get rid of all this dark magic because many people now turn to it. That Shmuel died. And the spirit of prophecy was not active as it used to be. So that's why the pasuk says, "Veigbru b'Rama u'Be'irai." They buried him both in the Rama and in his city, because Rama, if it just they buried him in a city, okay, that means that only in the city they buried him. But in the Rama, where he used to carry out his prophecy, over there he was still alive because his prophecy continued. But now that his prophecy had stopped as well, that's why the pasuk mentions Veikberu Barama. They buried him also in the Rama where his prophecy used to carry out. That's why they buried him both physically in his city where he died, and also where the prophecy carried out, meaning that the Nevuah is not as strong as it used to be. So another thing that was caused by the death of Shmuel is what pasuk Dalet continues. The Plishtim gathered together to engage with war, to engage in war with the Jewish people. They set up their camp in Shunem. Until then, the Plishtim were afraid to engage in war with the Jewish people because they knew Shmuel was alive. They were afraid of the power of Shmuel. Now that Shmuel had passed away, they were not worried anymore, and they started a war with the Jewish people. Now Shaul was too afraid to come close to them. That's why he set up his camp in Gilboa, which is far away. He was so terrified. He knew, he felt there was something wrong. So all these reasons together, the fact that the Nevuah had stopped, the fact that Plishtim are now threatening the Jewish people, and Shaul has a bad feeling about this, that forced him to do something. He knew he had to do something, find out what is going on over here. And so in the beginning he tries the regular channels, the right methods, but when he realizes that doesn't work, he turns to dark magic. Vayar Shaul esmach leplishtim. When Shaul sees the army of the plishtim, vayir avechor libayim ma'od. His heart is giving him very negative message. And a person can feel when there's something wrong. Again, Shaul was the melech, and even though he did not have the spirit as he used to, the fact that his heart was sensing that there's something bad about to happen, he was trying to find out what was going to happen. Vayishal Shaul b'Hashem. Shaul turned to Hashem. Now, what are the methods that he used? Lo ano Hashem, gam b'chaleimus, gam b'urim, gam b'nevim. There are three methods that he used to find out what is about to happen. However, the order, it's very important to note the order that he consults these methods. Number one, who does he consult? B'chaleimus, the dreams. What they used to do is they used to ask righteous people to have a dream, and when these people would think about the matter during the day, and the Rabbah explains that at night they would have a dream about it, because what a person thinks about during the day usually dreams about at night. It's got to be the right person, obviously, and that was the first method that Shaul used to find out what's going on over here. Second method was Ba'urim. He asked the Urim v'Tumim. However, that didn't work either. Either because there was not any righteous Nevi'im around. Because we remember that Shaul killed out the whole city of Noiv. City of Noiv, Ir Kohanim, was completely wiped out. The only righteous Navi that survived, Avyasar, joined the camp of David. So Shaul was left with no righteous Nevi'im to ask, to consult. That's why he could not consult the Urim either, properly. There were only a few Kohanim that were not righteous enough, and that didn't help him. And then, finally, at the end, he consulted the Nevi'im. He should have really started the Nevi'im, because that's the closest way, the highest method of asking Hashem, but he went exactly the opposite. He first used the Chalemus, which is the lowest level, then he went to the Urim V'Tumim, which is a higher level, then finally he consulted the Nevi'im, whichever Nevi'im were left, but that didn't help him either. Pasuk Zayin continues, Vayomer Shaul la'avodav. Shaul turns to his man and he tells them, now he's really desperate. He's desperately trying to find out what is going on. So he says, "Bakshli eshes balas oiv ve'elcha alev adrash abba." Find me a woman who engages in this dark magic called oiv. I will go over to her and ask her. Just one more thing before we continue is the pasuk in Divrei Yamim says, "V'gam lishol ba'oiv lidrash." It says that Shaul did not consult Hashem, rather he went straight to the Oiv. That doesn't seem to be true, because in Pasuk Vav, we saw that Shaul did ask Hashem. He did consult Hashem. So what does the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim mean? You have to understand that there's a difference between Drisha and She'ela. Over here it says, V'yish al Shaul b'Hashem. She'ela means he just asked in a light way, kind of like, by the way, he consulted Hashem. Drisha means to really demand an answer. That's a much stronger way of of consulting Hashem. And that he did not do. What he did do that with the Oiv.
But this is a contradiction. This is two passages above. He killed everyone who calls dead people. Now he wants to find a woman who does the same.
Right, meaning you're right. You kill them, most of them, but there are a few that survived, and they were in hiding. We're going to see in a minute that the woman.
But it means she should be killed, but he believes somebody is left.
Yeah. He's realistic. He knows that his efforts were not foolproof.
Be realistic, but not very smart. First to ask to kill somebody.
It's very difficult to kill out every single Baal HaSoiv. And there were the few that survived were in hiding. We're going to see in a minute what Shaul does to conceal the fact that he was king. So Shaul turns to his man and he says, please find me a woman who engages in Oiv, in this dark magic. I will go over to her and I will direct in her. Again, the language, the lashon that's used is a very powerful way of consulting. His men tell him, we found someone, there is a Baal HaSoiv in a place called Ein Dor. He dressed up, he wore different clothes, he didn't want the woman to realize that he's really the king. So he goes, he goes with two men that are accompanying him. They come to the woman at night. So he did three things to disguise himself from being king. First of all, he dressed up in different clothes. He comes with only two men. Usually a king comes with a whole entourage, not with two men. And third thing he does is he comes at night. A king usually comes in broad daylight. He never comes at night. It's a very unhonorable way for a king to show up. But he did all these three things to conceal the fact that he was really king. He doesn't tell her right away who he's planning to bring up, because, again, he wants to conceal the fact that he's Shaul. Not anyone would ask to bring up the Navi, Shmuel. Only a king would ask. That's why he's not telling her right away who he's planning to bring up. So he just says, listen, please bring me up the person I'm going to ask you to. You know exactly what Shaul did with his efforts to annihilate all this dark magic from the land of the Jewish people. Why are you trying to get me killed? If I engage with this dark magic, Shaul will probably find out and he's going to kill me. Shaul swears to her and he tells her, I'm promising you in the name of Hashem, nothing bad is going to happen to you if you help me out. So she says, she agrees, and she says, who do you want me to bring up? He turns to her and he says, I'm asking you to bring up Shmuel. Now, the way the Oiv worked was that the woman who was Baal HaSoiv, who brought up the dead, she was able to see the person, but she was not able to hear him. The person who asked to bring up the person was able to hear him, but he was not able to see him. That's the way the Oiv worked. So Shaul had no intention initially of speaking to Shmuel himself. He was going to ask the woman to ask him a question. But we're going to see later on what happened. It didn't exactly go as Shaul planned. V'tayra Aisha es Shmuel, v'tizak v'kol gadol. V'tayra Aisha el Shaul neymar, l'meri soni v'ata Shaul. The Aisha sees Shmuel come up, and she realizes, the second she sees Shmuel, that the person who asked her is really Shaul. How does she know? Because typically, the way the dead person would come up is he would come up upside down. His feet would come up first, and then the rest of his body, his head would come up last. He would basically be hanging upside down. The reason for that is it's brought down in Chazal and different Midrashim that in Gan Eden, the bodies walk around upside down. Where do we see that? We see that by Yitzchak. The Medrash says, by Yitzchak Avinu, that after Sarah Imenu died, Yitzchak was very distraught. So Avraham Avinu sends Yitzchak to recuperate in Gan Eden. And as Eliezer brought Rivka back, Yitzchak was just coming out of Gan Eden. It says Ve'etze Yitzchak l'soach basad. It's really referring to Yitzchak coming out of Gan Eden. And as he's coming out of Gan Eden, he's coming out upside down, because that's how the people used to be in Gan Eden. And so since Rivka sees Yitzchak upside down, she herself falls off the camel. V'tipul me'al ha'gamel, she falls off the camel upside down, because she's trying to be like Yitzchak. That's what the Medrash explains. So we see another place where people used to be in Gan Eden, they were really kind of hanging upside down. So when when the Isha brought up Shmuel, because she was bringing him up for the Melech, for the king, Shmuel came up in the right way, meaning his head first and legs below, the way we are right now. And why does he do that? Because it's the covet of the king. It's to honor the king. He comes up in the right way. And when the Isha realized this, when the woman realized that he's coming up the right way, she obviously knew that there was something wrong. And she understood that Shaul was really the king. This man who asked her to bring up Shmuel is really the king. That's why she starts screaming and she says, "Why did you fool me? You really asked me to bring up Shmuel because you are Shaul." Shaul the king turns to her and he says, "Don't worry, don't be afraid. Kimar Ace, I will not kill you for this because I am the king, I asked you for it. Tell me exactly what you saw." I saw gods coming out of the earth. What does that mean? So the Malbim explains that Shmuel did not come by himself. Shmuel came with Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because every Navi, no matter who he was, even though Shmuel was in a very high level, he still, a lot of his Nevuah stemmed from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the the highest Navi who ever lived. And when Shmuel was asked by the Oiv, by this dark magic, to come to Shaul, he thought that he was asked to come to Beis Din Shel Mala. He feared that Hashem is asking him to give a full report of everything he did in this world. He was very worried. So he came over to Moshe and asked him, "Please, Moshe Rabbeinu, come help me face the court in Shamayim, so I can come out righteous in the din." So now, when he's coming up to Shaul, he's coming up together with Moshe Rabbeinu. And when the woman describes him, it says, "Ve'emar lo ma ta'areh." Shaul asks the woman, what does he look like? V'demar ish zaken oile. There's an old man coming up. She's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Bu oitameil. He, meaning Shmuel, now she's referring to Shmuel, oitameil. He, Shmuel, is wearing a cloak. V'yedashol ki Shmuel hu, v'yikot apayim arta v'yishtachu. Shaul then realizes that it's really Shmuel. So he bows down.
How do you know about Moshe Rabbeinu?
Is
it from Midrash?
Yeah, it's a Midrash. The Malbim mentions that every Navi, because he gets his Nevuah from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why Shmuel came up with Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Midrash adds that Shmuel thought he was going to the Beis Din Shel Mala, that's why he asked Moshe to come with him. Hence, Shmuel now showed up with Moshe Rabbeinu together. So let's see the conversation that takes place between Shmuel and Shaul. Now again, initially, Shaul had no intention in speaking to Shmuel. He was going to ask the woman to speak for him. But now Shmuel turns directly to Shaul, and he's very upset. "Where is Shmuel and Shaul? Lama hir gastani? Why did you make me so uncomfortable lehalos oisi, and bring me up into this materialistic world.
So
Shaul is now apologizing to Shmuel and telling him, listen, I tried everything else. There's nothing that I can get any answer out of. So I was forced to use my last resort, which is engaging in this dark magic. That's why I had to bring you up in such a way. Now, it's important to note that when he mentions the methods that he used to consult Hashem, he only mentions the Nevi'im and the Chalomos. He leaves out the Urim V'Tumim. Why is that? Because he's embarrassed of the fact that he killed Noiv, the city of Kohanim, and he does not want to tell Shmuel that he killed out that city, because if he didn't kill out the city, he would have been able to consult the Urim V'Tumim in the proper way, because he would have righteous Kohanim. But because he killed them out, he was not able to, and that's why he completely leaves it out. Shmuel turns to Shaul and says, why did you ask me? Hashem, Sar Melecha Vehi Arecha. He tells him, there's two reasons why a person... Why Hashem would tell a person something that he did wrong, and both of these reasons will not be fulfilled in your case. Why? Vayas Hashem loik asher diber b'yodi. Hashem did exactly what I told you. Veigra Hashem es hamalach miyadecha ve'itna l'reacha l'David. He tore away the kingship from you, Shaul, and he gave it over to David. Because you did not listen to Hashem when he told you to kill out the city of Amalek. That's why this is coming to you. Exactly what you deserve. So again, there's two reasons why Hashem would tell a person that he had done something wrong. The first reason is because the person has the ability to do tshuva. However, that reason is not valid in this case. Because, in this case, there's no tshuva that could be done. Since Shaul already lost his last chance by killing out Amalek, there's nothing that he could possibly do to do tshuva. And therefore, there's no point in giving him the opportunity and telling him that he'd done something wrong. Because it's too late. Now the kingship is already taken away from Shaul and was given to David, and there's nothing in the power of Shmuel, of Shaul, that he could do to change that. The second reason is so the person knows what is the chet, what is the sin that he had done that he deserves to get this. But Shaul knows exactly why this was done to him. He knows clearly that because he did not kill out Amalek, that's exactly why the kingship was taken away from him. So both reasons, which you usually apply for a person to do tshuva and to be told by Hashem what he had done wrong, do not apply in this case. Ve'itan Hashem gam es Yisrael imcha biyad plishtim. Shaul is telling Shmuel, not only you will be punished, but the rest of the Jewish people will be punished as well. They are going to be defeated in battle. Many of them will get killed. And why do they deserve that? Because they participated in Shaul's Aveira. They also let some of the Amalekim live. It says, "Vayachmal la'am al atzoin velabakar." The Jewish people had mercy on the cattle and the sheep. They wanted to use them as korbanos, and for that they are now punished. That they're going to be defeated in war. They're going to be defeated in war, and many of them are going to be killed. Umachar ato banecho imi. Tomorrow, Shmuel is telling Shaul, tomorrow you and your two sons are going to be with me. Chazal say, imi b'mechitzasi. They're going to be with me together in Gan Eden. Meaning, even though you've done something wrong, by dying in battle tomorrow, you will be forgiven for your avera, and you're going to go straight to Gan Eden. You're going to be in the same section in Gan Eden that I am in. God is Nachal Yisrael Yitan Hashem B'yad Plishtim. And the Plishtim will completely defeat the camp of the Jews. Shaul is very distraught when he hears this. And he falls down to the floor. He did not have any strength left because he did not eat anything all day and all night. The Isha now turns to Shaul and she sees how distraught he is. I listened to you, and I risked my life to bring up Shmuel. And I fulfilled your request that you asked me to bring up Shmuel. I'm begging you, please listen to me one last time. I'm going to give you some bread. Please go ahead and eat so you can regain some of your strength. Now you need strength because you now are turning to go back to the camp. In the beginning, he refused. He did not want to eat any bread. But both the woman and his men convince him finally to eat some bread. He gets up from the floor again, because you remember he fell down before, and then he sits down on the bed. She had a calf's meat in her house. She hurries up and cooks it. On the spot, she cooks some bread, some matzois, so we can eat. She serves this meal to Shaul, and they take that, and they eat it, and they leave. Now, this whole parak is very interesting, because the Mefarshim talk about how is it that the Isha, this woman who is engaging in dark magic, has any ability to control the nefesh, the neshama, the soul of a Navi. How could we understand that dark magic has the power to manipulate the soul of a Navi? It doesn't make any sense. So this is something that bothers all of the Mefarshim. Many of them deal with it. And let's see some of the answers that they give. So, Magoyan Rabbi Shmuel ben Chofni says that this dark magic is really false. It does not have any power at all. It's just a hoax. It's some kind of magic that looks like as if they're controlling the soul, but it really has no power whatsoever. The Ralbag says another pshat. He says that the Oiv is really imagination. It's not real, does not have any real power, but it's just, it helps a person engage with imagination, and it helps them believe as if he's speaking to the soul of the Navi, the person he's bringing up. The problem with these Pshatim is that it seems like from the Psukim that this dark magic really has power, because this Bala Soiv, this woman, had the ability to bring up Shmuel, ask him real questions, and get real answers. So it seems like there was real power that was going on with this dark magic. So that's why these two pshatim are a bit hard to explain in the psukim. So Rav Hai Goyin and Rav Saadia says that really the woman did not have the power to bring up Shmuel. However, Hashem let her in this one incident bring up Shmuel because Hashem wanted Shaul to know what's going to happen in the future. Hashem wanted Shaul to know that he's going to die and why exactly it's going to happen. But that's the only reason. The problem with this plot is that if that's true, if it really does not work, and the only reason it worked in this incident is because Hashem wanted Shaul to know, why didn't Hashem tell him when he consulted the dreams and the Urim V'Tumim and the Nevi'im the first time? If he wanted him to know, then he should have answered him right away. Why was Shaul forced to engage with the Oif? Because he was so desperate. That's the problem with that pshat. The Ma'ari Kra brings another pshat and says something very interesting. He says that what's really going on over here is that a demon dressed up, he kind of possessed the body of Shmuel, and he's the one who the pasuk is referring to when it says that Shmuel came up. But it's really not Shmuel, it's not really the soul of Shmuel. Rather, it's a shade. It's a demon that was brought up because he possessed the body of Shmuel. Very interesting pshat. The Baal HaKeneh Yitzchak brings another explanation, and he says that really the Oiv has no power, but because she started engaging with bringing up the soul of Shmuel, Shmuel himself agreed to come up and to answer Shaul's questions. But really, it wasn't the Oiv at all. However, the Malbim does not like any of these pshatim. These pshatim are very hard to understand. Many of them do not fit in our understanding in the pasuk. That's why he says a completely different pshat. Again, he brings different sources from the Talmud, from the Gemara, that the Oiv really had true power and had the ability of bringing up souls of dead people. And we see that clearly from the Pesukim. The Pesukim told us exactly that Shmuel answered Shaul. He told him he's going to die, who's going to be the king afterwards. So obviously there was really something going on over here. So the Malbim explains that the way the Oiv works is that there's two parts to the soul. There's the actual neshama. And the neshama, once a person dies, goes straight back to Kisa Kavod, where it was brought down from, and that's where it stays. However, the Oiv does have the power to control what's called the Nefesh, the spirit of the body. The first 12 months that the body is in the ground, the spirit is not completely dissolved. He calls it the Nefesh Hayulanit. The spiritual spirit is still there the first 12 months because the body did not completely disintegrate. And during those 12 months, the the Balas Oiv can bring up the spirit of this person, and that's exactly what was going on over here. Since it was still within the year that Shmuel died, the Balas Oiv had the ability to still control the nefesh, the spirit of Shmuel, and that's exactly who she was consulting. So that explains everything, because that explains how the Oiv had true koyach, had the true power, and it also fits very well into the pasuk, because we saw that the first time the Shaul consulted Hashem, it did not work, but only when he consulted the Oiv, then it worked, because the Oiv had the power to engage in the spirit of Shmuel. And that's what the Baal HaSeif was doing. Okay, we're going to stop here.